And the beauty that we see in Deuteronomy 18 is there were two things that God said, I will raise that prophet for. He said, first, you listen to him. Mm-hmm. Maybe there were more. The second part of, apparently from the verse that the Spirit of God has expressed, that the people had always desired, and they said, whatsoever God would say, we will listen, right? They said. But men always had a desire to hear the voice of God himself, and also the possibility to see him. For example, we learned that from the ark, that someone wanted to look into the pieces that were inside the ark, and the result was death. That's why, you know what, you have to be very careful, because God, as we have heard, he dwells in unapproachable light. So what does God do? He raises a prophet so that the people of God can hear the voice of God itself. It's not through someone else's voice. It is the voice of God. But also, in the person of the Lord Jesus, we have now the ability to see the blessed God without tasting death for it. How do I see God? He tells Thomas, he that has seen me has seen the Father. So, whatever men desire, they can now have through this ministry or through this prophet that can speak the voice of God itself. But also, he can veil his glory and you can see the features of God himself. The second part of it, when he goes to the later verses, I will raise the prophet, the same word like the person, and I will put my words in his mouth. And it was very important that you presented before us that John 1:1 in the beginning was the word. That in relationship to his person. And as Brother Mark earlier expressed, that he came as God to express himself as God. Mm-hmm. The message was concerning his son, right? This is what the gospel is all about. But here, and I, God, will put my words in his mouth, if you will. And this is where the perfect humanity of the Lord Jesus comes. In one hand, he is the eternal word of God. None other but God. But on the other hand, as the one who came in humility, God was putting his own words in his mouth. And I wonder, brethren, if we can see a touch of Isaiah chapter 50. That morning by morning, yes, he was the instructor, definitely. But he was receiving words of God that he could say of himself, that I might give a word for the weary. How could a man give a word for the weary to help and support and encourage? Is the words that God was placing in his mouth as a blessed man that was able to help mankind here in the sea.
Just to read those verses that you referred to, because they relate very nicely to Deuteronomy. In John chapter 14, the middle verse 9, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe the works. And so the words are directly from the Father. Just wondering if we can get some comments on the second half of Deuteronomy chapter chapter 18, verse 16. Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire anymore, that I die not.
I thought, Matthew, that Brother Mark touched on it, because when he came to the mountain, God said, let them not come near unto me. And because there were thunders, there was acts, they felt they were acts of judgment if they came close. And even the thought of death over there, that when Moses came down from the mountain, there was death in that environment of thing. You can see it, approximately 3,000 men were killed, or they died. So what happens is, as we said a little bit earlier, that now they have a desire to hear the voice of God. They have a desire to see God in the fire, but they cannot do it because it will bring an act of judgment. This is why Christ came. Mm-hmm. Christ came that he can speak the voice of God, and it will not bring judgment, as we heard. It will bring grace and mercy toward mankind, but also he was a display for men to see God, because in him dwelt all the Godhead bodily. That everything that we needed to know and see of God will be ever, throughout endless ages of eternity, will be seen in the person of the Lord Jesus.
I'd like to refer back to Isaiah 50. You refer to Isaiah 50 because it is marvelous to see how this prophet was formed in God's school. Of course, he is God blessed over all, but as a man, as a human being, if I may use that expression in connection with the Lord Jesus, we see how God trained him. We see him in Luke 2 at the age of 12, sitting in the temple and asking questions to the teachers there. But here we see in Isaiah 50 how God was training this prophet. So that does not diminish the perfection of the Lord Jesus, but it shows how God trained him as a man in his school. He was in the school of God, and God, the Lord Jehovah, has given me the tongue of the instructed. There it is. He was a disciple, that I should know how to succor by word him that is weary. So God trained him to be his prophet. And it says, he wakens morning by morning, he wakens mine ear to hear as the instructed. So he was a disciple in God's school. God formed him before he sent him into this public ministry that we saw earlier. Here we have the formation that went before that. And it shows how the Lord was trained by God himself. And when the time had come, God said, now you can go. And that is then connected also with his rejection in verse 6. I gave my back to the smiters. So he was rejected in that ministry. But God had prepared him for that also. And he committed himself to the very end, to go on. He never deviated from this path. So in verse 7, but the Lord Jehovah will help me. And at the end of verse 7, therefore have I set my face like a flint. What we see in a prophet who is God's spokesman, it implies suffering, because God's thoughts are not well accepted. I said that earlier in connection with Acts 3. The thoughts were not accepted at all, but he went on. He did not deviate from what God had taught him. And so here we see a reference to his sufferings. The prophet was going to suffer, and he knew it ahead of time, and he cast himself on God that he would go on in a perfect way till the very end. And so I think this is also an element that we need to consider. The prophet, who is God's spokesman, he was prepared to suffer, and he did. And he did not deviate at all. He was perfect till the very end.
Do you think, just in the words that you mentioned, that the training of the Lord in eternity past was already evidence of his humility? In answer to Philippians 2, though he was God, yet thought he not a thing to be grasped at to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. To condescend to man's estate, here is God preparing to take on human form, and already learning to speak as man to man.
But this training, you cannot relate to eternity past. This training is on earth.
On earth, okay, great. Okay.
But he was prepared. Okay. Because in God's counsel, we know that from before foundation of the world, this was already in God's counsel that he would come on earth. Mm-hmm. But the training we're talking about is on earth. Okay.